UK inflation hits a fresh three-decade high. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As in many places around the world, the cost of living here in Britain is surging. Fresh data this morning showed just how much it's rising. Consumer prices jumped 6.2% in the year ended February. That's the fastest rate in 30 years. Prices are rising faster than wages, and the Bank of England says inflation could hit double digits this year. Today, Chancellor Rishi Sunak, who controls the government's purse strings, is due to outline its spring spending plans. And he's under increasing pressure to offer more support for households, which have faced skyrocketing food, fuel, and energy prices. The BBC's Michelle Hussein reports from Birmingham, one of the largest cities in the middle of England.
I've been speaking to people and businesses about the cost pressures they are facing. One of them is Imran Hamid. He runs a food bank in Smethwick.
We are seeing a whole new calibre of people. Now we're getting a lot more 9-to-5s. Right, people who work 9-to-5. This is not just an unemployed problem any longer. And a lot of people are telling us on the doorstep, it's because of energy costs.
Well, we went with him as he made one of his deliveries to a woman called Sarah, who had recently moved to the area and who got in touch with the food bank because her gas and electricity bills take up so much of her money, she has little left for her children.
Last night, my daughter were crying that she was that cold, and it were literally even put heating on or feed my kids, and I had to put gas on and not feed them. That's how bad it was, honestly. I've put on my gas now £45 in a week, and there's £6 left on it. That's a week shopping, more than a week shopping for me and the kids. If I'm doing £45 in 7 days, that's taking a big chunk of food out of my children's mouth.
For businesses too, it's a tough time. Even larger ones. Amira One's company is a wholesaler of electrical and consumer goods.
We get that knock-on effect because we sell to retailers. The retailer says, look, the products don't sell anymore, people aren't buying anymore, people aren't spending money anymore. They're really feeling it. Are we going to be open next year or not? My costs are going up. I mean, before we would maybe have a price increase once a year, if that. I'm getting 4 price increases a year now.
That's Amir Awan ending that report there from the BBC's Michelle Hussein. Checking the numbers now, London's FTSE 100 is up 0.3% ahead of that spring budget announcement later today. Benchmarks, though, across Europe are down in the 0.2% to 0.5% range. Shares across Asia have rallied again today, helped in part by another surge in technology shares. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 1.2%, while Tokyo's Nikkei jumped 3%. To Afghanistan now, where a last-minute policy reversal this morning has upset tens of thousands of teenage girls who plan to go back to school today. Their schools were shut just hours before they were due to reopen to allow the government leadership to make a decision over what uniform students will wear. Harsh restrictions on girls' rights to education could have longer-term implications for their future job prospects and the wider Afghan economy. The BBC's Sukhinder Kamani has more from Kabul.
During the Taliban's last stint in power in the 1990s, they banned girls from getting an education. That's no longer the official policy, to the relief of the overwhelming majority of Afghans. But the issue is seen as potentially divisive by the group. And in a number of southern provinces, teenage girls are still yet to resume classes. In some areas, teachers told the BBC the Taliban were implementing changes, adding religious subjects and removing a handful of others, such as citizenship studies. Though in other provinces, the curriculum appears to have remained, for now, the same as before the Taliban took control. The Taliban have said girls should only be taught by women, raising fears of staff shortages, though many schools told the BBC older male teachers would be allowed to stay on for the moment.
That's the BBC's Sukhinder Kamani reporting from Kabul there. To Ukraine now, where Russia has agreed to allow civilians to be evacuated from 9 towns and cities today. It comes as the Pentagon says Ukrainian soldiers are successfully reversing battlefield momentum against invading forces to reclaim ground in some parts of the country. Still, the war continues and many civilians are continuing their rush to safety, among them about 700 women who are pregnant with the children of foreign couples. Ukraine is a popular destination for international surrogacy and has one of the largest surrogacy agencies in the world. But the war has left families in impossible situations, as the BBC's Stephanie Hegarty reports.
I think he's hungry.
At least 40 surrogate babies sit stranded in Ukraine because their parents can't get to them. Denis Herman is the legal advisor at Ukraine's biggest surrogacy agency.
We believe that if nothing changes in the nearest future, we may have 100 babies under our care.
It's a terrible outcome for parents and surrogates. But things can be even more complicated.
В Києві буде по-любому безпечно, тому що, ну, дуже далеко від.
Just a few days before the war, Marina was optimistic. She's 7 months pregnant for a couple in Spain. It's her second surrogacy. And she used the payment from the first one to buy her apartment. She couldn't have imagined that just a few days later, she'd have to leave that home to get on a bus to Moldova. I hope that Putin grows a brain in his head, she told me, because Russian and Ukrainian mothers didn't give birth to their children to fight. When Russia attacked Ukraine, Emma McAuliffe could only watch from thousands of miles away in Australia.
It's been an enormous day today. Our surrogate has been up all night sleeping in her apartment corridor. She's pulled the mattresses out of her apartment with her children covered in blankets. They did not sleep. Sirens were going off all night. She's petrified.
Unlike Ukraine, most countries in Europe don't recognise surrogacy.
So the alternative is for us to send our surrogate back into a war zone, essentially, for ease of paperwork, which seems sickeningly wrong in so many ways. But the alternative is going through an adoption process, which could take years in Moldova.
Emma doesn't know how she and her husband will manage to get the paperwork to get their baby.
I thought having cancer was stressful. Having a baby while having treatment was stressful. Having round after round of IVF and it not working be stress, but it just does not compare.
But in all of the stress, there are moments of bittersweet relief.
She sent me a photo through of her youngest daughter with a soft serve ice cream from McDonald's and a balloon and the biggest smile on her face. And I just completely broke down. It was just a reminder of what a child should be doing, just enjoying their life with their family.
That's Emma McAuliffe ending that report by the BBC's Stephanie Hegarty there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.